T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Working our way through the week. Holy Thursday. Larry Richard with Marty Griffin. He's back Monday after enjoying a week with his family. And today, as you're well aware, is the first day of baseball for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's always a big day for a lot of people. And as I drove through the city this morning, I noticed even though the game is in Miami, they have all the lights on overnight. Must be working on PNC Park and getting ready for the home opener, which will be next Friday. But last week I spent time in Bradenton, Florida. What a beautiful experience for the week. Saw lots of Pittsburghers. And I saw this baseball team, and from a distance, didn't know who they were, high school team, on the field at Lecom Park, and found out David Bednar, the Pirates closer from Mars, had his high school team, and his father, Andy, is the manager of the Fighting Planets, and had a chance to catch up with the Renegade's dad.
The word surreal just get you thrown around all over the place, and that's the best way to describe it. You know, to have your son here in Pittsburgh, you know, playing for the hometown team is just, it's an incredible experience.
And I think when he came to a Steelers game, and right before kickoff, they always have a celebrity. Usually it's a player, but in your case, we got to announce Pittsburgh Pirate closer David Bednar, the Renegade, and the fans went nuts. You were there.
That was so much fun. We have Steelers season tickets, so we go to all of them, and to have him to be the guy that, you know, normally it's a retired Steeler or something like that, to have him, it didn't seem real.
I'm curious, though, when I think about famous athletes and people that are gifted, when did you know David had a real legitimate shot of being a professional baseball pitcher?
It was probably late college. I thought that he'd have a chance because out of high school, he wasn't recruited real heavily. But once he got into his third year at Lafayette College, I knew there was a chance he'd get drafted. And it wasn't until the third day in the 35th round. And, you know, he's really taken advantage of the opportunity.
It's like an out-of-body experience, I would imagine, for your family, you know, being from Mars and all his friends. And when you get to see a lot of them and the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I can't even describe being able to drive 25 minutes from up in Mars down to see your son perform in a big league game. It's just surreal.
One of the things that I noticed first time I ever talked to David in the clubhouse was his quiet, confidence, positive attitude. He has been since then really remarkable.
Yeah, it's almost like a conviction that he knows his stuff's good enough to get guys out, and you know he's very confident out there. And I think as a closer in that ninth inning role, you have to be.
Well, just watching him here just moments ago, man, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He could be a linebacker
for sure, absolutely, without a doubt.
Andy Bednar, we appreciate it, and all the best this season to you and your family.
Awesome, thanks for having me.
So David had a chance to catch up with him right after that. They were taking pictures with the Mars high school baseball team, the Fighting Planets, and then asked David about that. Interesting to hear father and son's take on when they knew he might be able to make it.
I just thought it was such a pipe dream. It was always such a big dream, but at the end of the day, I never really thought too much. I wanted to happen so bad. I just kind of put my head down and kind of just worked as hard as I could, and next thing you know, I get drafted, and it's kind of the same thing. I just had no expectations and just kind of put my head down and grinded, and then, you know, get an opportunity to, make my debut. And just it's every opportunity you get is when I try to make the most out of it.
And obviously you've spent time talking to Neil Walker, and of course, Donnie Kelly's another Pittsburgh guy that made the team. He was actually a Pirate before Neil, so you have a nice Yinzer thread.
Oh, absolutely. It's really cool. Growing up, and Neil Walker is, it's a guy I was like, oh man, like that'd be so awesome to play.
You guys are friends now.
Yeah, it's really cool to be on the flip side and get to know him personally. And him and Donnie are just both incredible guys, and to have them kind of in my corner and just they understand what it takes to do this and play at home, and how awesome of an opportunity it is. So it's really special to have those guys to talk to, and this opportunity is just it's so amazing, and I think just being able to share it with everybody who helped me get to this point is even more special.
Good luck to you, Renegade.
Awesome, thank you.
David Bednar, the closer for your Pirates from Mars and the starting pitcher for the opener at 4:10 today in Miami is Mitch Keller. And throughout the morning, we have had great conversations. Next hour, we're going to talk to Voice of the Pirates, Greg Brown. You'll hear from Hannah Mears, who's the new face of Sportsnet Pittsburgh. And we'll keep you posted as we get ready for an exciting afternoon. Also, coming up next, the latest from the bridge collapse in Baltimore. And right after the news at 6:30, AccuWeather's posted their forecast for hurricane season, which is just around the corner for the Atlantic. All on the Big K Morning Show. Andy Masick, President and CEO of the Heinz History Center, best museum in America, by the way, if you didn't hear that, announced early this year. Mrs. Sofel, that true story that Andy was talking about. Diane Keaton played Kate Sofel, the warden's wife, and you know who Ed Biddle was? Mel Gibson. A very young Mel Gibson. Because that movie goes back again to 1984, and one of the movies made in Pittsburgh. So, Samantha, this put that on your list.
Put that on what list?
The one where you watch stuff that we recommend.
Yeah, of course, that list.
Yeah, the one you don't pay attention to. Mrs. Sofel from 1984. Meanwhile, seems early, but AccuWeather put out their big list.
They have a list, too.
Yeah, but this one is, and they're looking at, let me read the headline, because I want to ask Dean DeVore about this, our meteorologist in charge. I sent it to him and said, hey, can we talk about this? Because they just released it yesterday afternoon. Explosive Atlantic hurricane season predicted for 2024. Not what anybody wants to hear, so I'm curious why they think so. Because so many Pittsburghers have some kind of attachment to places all over Florida. We'll get an update on that. And on a lighter note, did you see Punxsutawney Phil?
Papa.
And Phyllis, I guess.
Oh, that's adorable. I didn't know her name was Phyllis.
They had a couple of, what do you call groundhog babies?
Ground babies? I have no clue what you call groundhog babies.
Yeah, they welcomed yesterday. This was a big deal up there. Two baby groundhogs. And I don't know that they've named them yet, but Punxsutawney Phil and his wife, Phyllis. I met them both, by the way. I know them very well.
Yes. But, I can imagine.
So we'll... you can imagine. We'll find out who's who. Phyllis...
I did see that. Papa Phil.
Yeah, it's funny how... This made the news cycle yesterday on television in particular.
Oh, yeah. This was the one news story that, like, popped up on my phone.
In the midst of all the hard news to take, including the story of the bridge collapse in Baltimore. And, that's tough to watch, too. Think of those workers that were on that bridge. And with the latest on that, CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Maryland State Police say divers found the two victims inside a red pickup truck, submerged in around 25 feet of water where the middle of the bridge used to be. Teams are now moving from a recovery mission to a salvage operation because divers are not able to safely access other areas of the debris, including the remaining victims.
New traffic video from the Maryland Department of Transportation shows the massive cargo ship approaching the Francis Scott Key Bridge moments before it crashed into the span. gone. The National Transportation Safety Board also released video of what's left. Sections of the bridge bent and crumpled around the front of the ship.
Our mission is to determine why something happened, how it happened, and to prevent it from reoccurring. Again, to save lives.
The NTSB says there were 21 crew and two pilots on board the ship when it rammed into the bridge. It was transporting 56 containers of hazardous materials, and according to the NTSB, some of those containers were breached. Authorities say they have seen a sheen on the water, indicating chemical leaks. Officials have started identifying the six victims, all construction workers. 40-year-old Miguel Luna had three children and was originally from El Salvador. 34-year-old Maynor Yasir Suazo Sandoval had two kids and was from Honduras.
We know that they were hard workers. We know that they love soccer. We know that they love, you know, their families and the community.
All wreckage from the crash must be cleared before the Port of Baltimore can reopen to ships. The Navy is bringing in barges equipped with cranes to help. Logistics experts say it's possible prices could rise if the global supply chain is disrupted.
Cargo ships are now getting redirected to other ports along the East Coast. The Port of Baltimore handles more vehicle imports and exports than any other port in the U.S.
Wendy Gillette from CBS.
Also, update, Larry, baby groundhogs are called chucklings.
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 I did not know that. You would think. I spent so many years going up
well,
to...
Well, you know them both very well.
Chucklings. And let's take you live to AccuWeather World Headquarters, meteorologist Dean DeVore. Dean, good morning. Before we
talk... Good morning, everybody.
Hurricane season, which a lot of people are like, so soon? However, let's talk about this holiday weekend forecast. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be chilly and a little rain in between.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Maybe we're just too used to the warm temperatures that we had in February and March. So far here in the month of March, we are still 7.7 degrees above average through the first 27 days of this month. And that's even after this chilly period that we were in there from about the 18th through the 24th. Now, last few days, it's warmed up. Yesterday was gorgeous. Today's not as warm, but should turn out pretty nice. The clouds are already kind of thinning over us now. Turns out mostly sunny by the afternoon up near 50. And then it's going to be the next several days, it's just going to be back and forth. You're going to have some nice time and then it goes into raining time. It sounds like spring, right? Some drizzle or sprinkles near the city southward later tonight, tomorrow morning. Clouds giving way to some sun the rest of tomorrow, high 54. Then rain at times on Saturday, high 56. Maybe a shower early Sunday for Easter sunrise services into the middle of the morning. And then mainly cloudy the rest of the day, high 56, and then more rains coming for us on Monday with highs in the low 60s.
All right. And by the way, Pirates are in Miami where it'll be 84 this afternoon, but they have kind of this semi-enclosed ballpark for the Marlins. 4:10, yep. By the way, is first pitch. Meanwhile, let's talk about this. I see the headline your colleague Brian Latta had written, a supercharged hurricane season could spawn a near record number of storms in the Atlantic. That's troublesome.
Yeah, we've been talking about this actually for a couple of weeks. And that Brian Leda is one of our journalists. So he's a meteorologist. If you look in the story, there's probably quotes from our lead hurricane forecaster, Alex Da Silva, and our lead meteorologist overall is John Porter. And they've all been in agreement that we are looking at a setup similar to what we saw back in 2005 and 2020, where the sea surface temperatures in the Atlantic Basin, especially across the Gulf, the Caribbean, and the main development region, what we call the intertropical convergence zone, all those water temperatures are really high. I mean, astronomically high, even higher than some of those years that I just mentioned, which we had a huge amount of named storms. So March 2005 and March 2020, we look at the water temperatures then for those record years, and it's similar, if not worse, this year. So we saw catastrophic impacts on those years in hurricanes. What we're thinking is that there's going to be a lot of development of storms and the Western Gulf, the Florida Peninsula, and then up the eastern seaboard to about the Carolinas are the areas that should be on guard this year for what could be a record amount of named storms. Yeah. We're predicting 20 to 25 named storms here this year.
Last year, There were 19 named storms, but only four direct U.S. impacts. So that that part was really low. And that may surprise a lot of people. And then the National Weather Service came out with their list of names. Some of these are familiar names. So they retire names after there's a significant amount of damage associated with a storm. Right. Is that right?
Yeah, significant either, if lives and or financial costs and impact, yes. So I've been retired. Dean's been retired. Dean was retired, I forget how many cycles ago. So you will never get the hurricane named Dean again. Although, you know, there are some letters that we're having trouble getting names that are either easy to say or common. So we've got like the I one. We're getting some names that I know there's and it's not this year. Let me look at the list.
I have the list here.
Yeah, Isaac this year for the I name. But in 2 years, when we get to 2026, we're back to that Isaias name, which just messed everybody up. The one is, I think, this
who decides that? Who
the
makes
World
these
Meteorological
decisions?
Organization.
So
WMO,
they have a big meeting and they sit in a room and they decide what the names of the storms are going to be.
I think it starts with our hurricane people, and then they go to the WMO, because not only do you have to name the storms in the Atlantic Basin, but there's the Pacific Basin, the storms that are on the west coast of the United States out towards Hawaii. There's the Asian basins. There's a couple of basins out there, and so they all have to coordinate. Now, their names in other parts of the world are more indicative of their part of the world in terms of common names. But the second name this year, it's B-E-R-Y-L, Burl, right?
Cheryl.
But some people say Barrel. I've heard that and stuff. So that one gets a little interesting. We got what? Ernesto, Francine, Gordon, Helene. These aren't too bad this year, right? Kirk, no, Leslie,
the
Nadine.
First will be Alberto, by the way. And then typically hurricane season starts June 1.
Yeah, right there. Although there has been a move in the recent years to start a little earlier, because we've seen hurricanes, or at least some kind of a tropically involved system, maybe not a complete warm core hurricane storm, but as early as April and May. So there has been some movement and thoughts about maybe starting it May 15th. And then it goes typically a little bit longer. But those are all things that we're seeing in the changing climate, right? Not the normal ups and downs that we were used to as kids in spring to summer and those kinds of things. Everything seems a little more topsy-turvy. So, and the other thing, too, is with that is they're naming more storms anyway, because with better technology, it may not be a full-out what we would consider a warm core self-sufficient hurricane, but it could have enough tropical characteristics, they may still name the storm. They call that, sometimes you hear it as a subtropical storm or a post-tropical storm. So it's certainly they're naming more storms now than they used to, given all the things. And that helps people think about it and identify it, I guess. So, you know, I've given up arguing whether things are right and wrong. I just kind of deal with what it is anymore, right? Yeah. Is that our generation's new thing? We just stop arguing?
Stop
anymore?
Anxiety. Alberto, Burl, Chris, Debbie, Ernesto, Francine, and Gordon will be the first set. And by the way, you heard your nemesis, Punxsutawney Phil, and his wife, Phyllis, had two chucklings.
Oh, no, I didn't. Congratulations. What do you get? What do you get the groundhog that has everything?
Well, he's having a banner year because he predicted an early spring. So,
well, there was a few days where I think some of us thought wrong. I will say this. There is we're in this kind of zone where we're going to be every few days getting some kind of system. There is a point like middle of next week where the flow comes down from the north.
The flow.
The wind flow comes around from the north. I know that sounds like a personal problem. And it's going to get chillier with some showers around. You always make me go there, Larry Richard.
Hey, I know. Poor workman always blames his tools. Thank you, Dean.
Have a great day, and keep it locked to AccuWeather on this, what looks like a very active hurricane season on the way.
I highly advise you seek to see Dean. Go to AccuWeather's website. Check him out. Thank you, Dean.
You're welcome.
Our meteorologist in charge, Mr. Dean DeVore, from AccuWeather World Headquarters. Sam, I detected a little bit of jealousy there. Did you not? Right?
Oh, yeah. There's some resentment. For sure.
They don't like Phil. And they're, now that Phil and Phyllis are proliferating, it's even more dangerous for their futures. Going to talk to the voice of your Pittsburgh Pirates right after the news at the top of the hour, Greg Brown, as we get ready for baseball. Speaking of which, just a moment here, we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to next Saturday's game, which is Saturday after the opener, the home opener, right, Sam? Meanwhile, from Carrick High School, he's known as The Rock, one of my favorite people. Funny guy, too. He's got a great sense of humor. He's all Pittsburgh. John Wehner, who, by the way, holds the distinction of having the last home run at Three River Stadium and making the last out. I caught up with him on the field at Leacom.
Great seeing you, Larry, as always.
I saw some things in a golf course the other day that I had never seen before.
Oh?
It wasn't from you. No, it wasn't from you. That's for sure. So, John, we get ready for a new season. You've been around this organization a long time. What can you tell the fans about this team this year?
This team's going to hit. We've seen it all spring training long. These guys have been swinging the bats well. They're going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. The bullpen's going to shut down games, and when it gets to them, if the starting pitching could be solid, this is a 500 club. A 500 club will compete for the postseason, perhaps the division even, and depends on the starting rotation. You're going to have fun watching these guys hitting the ball in the ballpark.
All right, forget about the pitchers for a minute. Who are the starting eight? Your Pittsburgh Pirates.
On a normal day with a right-handed pitcher on the mound, it'll be O'Neill Cruz will hit first, Reynolds will bat second, Hayes will bat third. My guess is Sawinski's cleanup, Telez is five, McCutcheon's six, maybe Davis six, McCutcheon seven, or McCutcheon six, Davis seven. And then you have Jared Triolo. Who am I missing here? Oh, Michael Taylor, our new center fielder. Those will be probably our nine against the righty with a lefty on the hill, which I think we're going to see in Miami. We probably will see Connor Joe at first base. The rest might stay the same. We might see that would probably be about it. Like I said, I think there'll be a strict platoon over first base with Telez and Connor Joe. Outside of that, the other guys that I mentioned will probably be.
John Wehner, The Rock, good luck this year with doing what you do.
Well, I thank you, Larry. I appreciate it. Anytime anybody says that to me, it's a treat.
He's so funny. I love John Wehner. He's a fan favorite, and it was fun to watch just standing there when Pirates fans were around, hey, Rock, and signing autographs. So he was and will continue to be part of the broadcast team, John Wehner. And again, we'll talk to Greg Brown right after the news at 7. You'll hear his take on the 2024 Pirates. Speaking of which, how would you like to go see the Bucks on us? They take on the Baltimore Orioles. And the opener is Friday, Saturday at 4:05. We got two tickets for you. 412-922-1020 is our number. Sam, you pick a number.
Let's do 14.
Wow, you're getting ambitious.
What do you mean ambitious?
Well, normally you go single digit.
Yeah, it's more fun if the number's higher.
All right, caller number 14, 412-922-1020. When's the last time you were at PNC Park for a Pirates game? Have you ever gone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last season I went.
Did you?
I think the last time I went was that Henry, what's his name?
Henry Davis.
Was his opening.
His debut.
His debut. I remember I was at that game. Not on purpose, just coincidentally it happened to be his debut. So I think that's the last time I was there.
All right. Once again, named best ballpark in America by ESPN and anybody else that goes there. So looking forward to baseball here in the Berg, and we got you covered. Greg Brown again coming up right after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.